Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you, as always. Today, I'm talking about messages of hope with my guest, Suzanne Giesemann. Suzanne Giesemann has experienced one of the most unusual career transitions ever. She says that her career transition spans dimensions. She is a retired U.S. Navy commander, and she served as a commanding officer, as special assistant to the chief of naval operations, and as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. I said chief of staff, chiefs of staff on 9/11. And today she's the author of 10 books and a spiritual teacher and an evidential medium. Wait till you hear what that is. She's an acclaimed inspirational speaker. She captivates audiences as she brings hope, healing, and comfort through her work. And Suzanne's gift of communication with those on the other side provides stunning evidence of life after death. And in her work, Suzanne addresses questions about the purpose of life, the nature of reality, and attuning yourself to higher consciousness. And her work has been recognized as highly credible by afterlife researcher Dr. Gary Schwartz and bestselling author Dr. Wayne Dyer. So, and her website's loveatthecenter.com, but we'll go into that, and I'll mention it quite a few times so you know how to find her. So, Suzanne, are you there?
I sure am, Jamie. How are you?
Hello. It's so wonderful to finally have you on my show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
You're so darling. So tell everybody, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know what an evidential medium means.
Evidential is exactly what the word says, Jamie. It's bringing through evidence from those on the other side so that the client knows I am connecting directly to their loved ones, evidence that they can verify and that I couldn't possibly know. And that is as opposed to just a message such as your grandmother's here and she loved you very much. That may or may not be true, but when I can tell you how somebody died or what kind of work they did and on with validatable evidence, that changes lives.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean because I've had the experience, you know. So
yes.
I totally get what you're talking about. So tell everybody who's listening, how did you change from being a U.S. Navy commander by the books, left-brained individual, to a medium and a spiritual teacher? How did this happen to you?
Well, unfortunately, it was the result of tragedy, the death of my stepdaughter 8 years ago. And that sent me searching for answers, and it sent me to a medium. Never expected to go to see a medium, but that woman brought through the kind of evidence I just talked about that left no doubt in my mind or in my husband's mind, and he's even more left brain than I am, that our Susan was still around. And in the process of then going on to write 2 books about very evidential mediums, I discovered that I could connect with the other side myself, and it was quite the shock because I had no idea that I had that ability, but it awakened since Susan passed.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that because I had the same experience that you had. I had no idea that I could hear spirit beings until my husband died of the bee sting, and then it just opened up a door, you know,
yeah.
to the alternative realm, the afterlife, you know, the parallel universe that just all our loved ones are all around us, you know.
And it is like a door opening, but the thing that opens that door is belief that it's possible.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that because for most people, see, for me, because I was raised by 2 Jewish atheists, right? And they taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife, you know. They were devout atheists, if you want. The lack of belief in my case helped me because I wasn't raised as many people are who are raised in traditional religion who are told, oh, when your loved ones die, they are in heaven. That means they're out of reach until you die and you're reconnected with them in spirit. So if they're told that, it's not possible to communicate with loved ones in spirit. They don't believe it, so the door isn't open. I wasn't told it wasn't possible or otherwise. So when Jean came through to me, there was no question. It was obvious, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. So So tell me, how do you sense those on the other side? Because a lot of mediums, you know, have, they're clairaudient, they're clairsentient. So they see, they hear, how does it work for you?
Oh, it's a wonderful mixture of all of the senses. I'm primarily clairaudient. I hear them speaking. I get images of things they want to show me, but I rarely see them. I'll see their gestures pointing at something or doing something with their arms or mm-hmm. their hands, but lots of clear images, and very, very clearly I sense them. I sense their personality. I sense if they were loving or if they were angry. And what really fascinates me is I feel their ailments in my body. So that I can say this person died of a heart attack because my heart will literally palpitate. Or that mm-hmm. if I feel a pain in the area of the liver, I know they had a liver problem. And the second I pass along that bit of evidence, that symptom goes away.
Isn't that marvelous?
It
so
is.
Your ability is very similar to mine because I hear, and I also get pictures in my mind. Images that will, like one of my patients was grieving over her little lost doggy. And she came in crying and she said, "Do you think you could talk to my doggy?" And at that moment, I saw a yellow dog. That's the image that popped into my mind. And I said, "Was your doggy yellow?" So she says to me, "Oh, no, no, my dog wasn't yellow." I think, I'm losing it bad here. You know? So then I see another dog and I say, "Oh, well, now I see another dog." And I said, "But this dog is showing me the image of two huge front paws. That's all the dog wants me to see." So the little girl bursts into tears crying, and she says to me, "Oh, that's my doggy who just died, and in life he had no front paws."
Wow, wow.
Is that so beautiful? Because
that's
his image
cool.
was showing me I'm restored.
Yes,
I'm
of
restored.
Course.
These are my big puppy paws. And I started to cry because it was so beautiful for me, you know. And then she says, "Oh, well, the yellow dog was the dog who died just before."
Perfect.
So
perfect.
He was a little gatekeeper. So now when you hear, do you actually hear voices? Do you hear the sounds in your head or?
Oh, they sound just like my own thoughts. So that's where mm-hmm. the training and the practice comes in, because you learn to discern the difference between the thoughts of those who are coming through you and your own thoughts. But it's when they speak in words that I wouldn't use, or I'll hear an accent, that it's much easier.
That is so true. See, I didn't have any official training at this like you, but it's so obvious to me when someone is coming through, and it sort of feels like somebody is sort of stepping in to you, don't you find? And you know it's not your voice.
That's the word that I use, the step in now, although it's not. It's just a blending of consciousness, my energy field with their energy field. So they really don't step in from anywhere.
Yeah.
Their
yeah.
energy is all around us. But that helps us to picture that process more easily.
Right. And often, don't you find, too, that as you say, they give you evidence by the way spirit seems to come through for me is they will say something very specific and personal that you would have no way of guessing.
That's right? The best. That's what I go for, and we call those the wows.
Yeah. They're the best, right?
Oh,
and
yes.
You don't ask for it. It just sort of comes, you know? It's just,
well, I set that intention at the beginning of every reading. Let's have some wows here, because that's what changes people's lives and lets them know. It gives them the hope that this life is not all there is and that they'll see their loved ones again. That's why I stress that I'm a messenger of hope. That's what it's all about.
So for you, do you believe, Suzanne, that the idea of I will see them again, do you believe in that traditional notion that you cannot see them now, you can't continue your relationship now?
Oh, I hope that didn't come across that way, because I don't believe that at all.
Oh, good. I wanted to check.
Mm-hmm. Some people very clearly do sense their loved ones after they have passed, but it's those who come to me who haven't found that ability yet and really want to know that their loved ones are still here.
And what a message of hope it is.
Yeah.
Because now let's talk about when people come to you and you help them to reconnect, do they go on and connect on their own, or do they just have to keep coming back and talking to you more?
I would say that a small percentage do then have that experience, because that door of belief has been opened. But mm-hmm. I believe the greatest sense they get from that is that if they talk to their loved ones hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Or having a reading with an evidential medium, we hope that's true. But afterwards, you know that's true.
That's a wonderful way to say it. You start with hope, but then after the experience, you know. It's really neat. Now, tell me, because I certainly have experienced this, because, you know, you were always, you know, mainstream and in the military, and I'm a mainstream shrink and all. And then suddenly you discover, whoa, there's a party around us. There are a lot of people.
Oh, I know.
So did you get a lot of difficulty with those around you saying, oh, she's nuts, she's crazy? Did you lose a lot of?
Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
I've had nothing but support from friends and those who know me because they know me. And they know that I just don't make things up and that I'm honest, and they know my background. So I believe, once again, that gives people hope that if she can do this, anybody can do this. If she can believe, it's safe for me to believe.
That's absolutely true. So you're a perfect messenger because of being so mainstream.
Yeah, I think that's a blessing. It is. I know it is. I look back on my career path, and it's such a different path for me now, but it's all perfect when we can look back and see the perfection and where we were and how it's brought us to exactly where we are now.
So there's a tremendous peace about you. Tremendous.
I tell you, that is the biggest change that I find in my life, and the thing that has transformed me more than anything to bring me to this place of this all-pervading peace is the unconditional love, Dr. Love, that I feel every day from connecting with the other side. Whether I give a reading or not, I connect with that source of unconditional love in meditation and just by shifting my consciousness throughout the day. And when you feel that on a regular basis and realize that that's available to all of us and that that's who we are at the core, it changes you.
You know, I am completing the book that I'm writing now called Love Never Dies, where I tell for the first time my story of my discovery of my husband's spirit presence and the ways in which his loving connection to me in spirit form really took me to a place of healing that I could never fully achieve in spite of being a shrink and having been in therapy, you know, my whole life. One of the things that I found was so difficult was to fully love myself, you know, as much as he loved me in his earthly embodiment, you know, because I was raised, Suzanne, by parents who were extremely abusive to me, verbally, physically. So there was always this voice in my head that put me down and tore me down. And Jean was really sent to me as an intercessor to God to love me, to let me feel God's love coming through him. But as much as he loved me, there was always something, I guess, like a barrier, you know, that it never fully became my self-love. But as soon as he left his body and he was freed from the vessel of his body, his spirit could enter me. His love could enter me. It was his love was my self-love. It's very hard to explain.
No, you're doing it beautifully, and that's exactly the key there, that the self that you couldn't love was the human self. But once you break down that barrier, then you find the spirit self that's in each one of us.
Absolutely. And he, through entering me, and, you know, one of the things that happened was, you know, when I was talking to all my peers and I said, but there's this horrible voice that berates me and puts me down. And they kept saying, yell louder, scream louder, tell it to shut up. None of that worked. And then Jean came to me in a visitation and he took my hands, his hands, see my hands, his hands. He put his hands on my face, turned my face to him as though he were turning me to the sun, and all he said was, listen, listen, listen.
Oh, and I wrote that yesterday on Twitter.
Oh. You see how we're all connected?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's that happens every day once you start tuning in.
Isn't it beautiful? So in that listening, he just said, just listen to my love. And that was it. He was in me and their voices were gone. It was just such a miracle for me. I want to take a break, and I'm just loving talking to you. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. Today I'm talking about messages of hope with Suzanne Giesman. Suzanne, so before we took the break, well, actually, this is my quickie segment. I forgot to warn you, this is going to be short and sweet. But before we took the break, we were talking about how connecting with spirit is the path to self-love. And say a little more about that before we do some
I teach workshops all the time, and I talk about connecting with the source of love. And I love is the word that comes up most often during the day. And one woman said to me, I waited all day for you to define love, and you never did. And that stunned me because this was a few years ago, made the assumption that everybody knew what love is, and they don't, depending on how they were raised, what mm-hmm. kind of challenges they faced in their life. And it's part of the things that I teach is to go into meditation, and that is where you find the love and learn to love yourself. And happily, the woman that complained that she didn't know what love was found that and wrote to me about 3 months later after meditating regularly, and it was like a different person.
So your way in is through meditation. Yes.
That's one way. That's one way. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a powerful way.
I agree with you because, well, through meditation, you turn off the conscious part of the brain, and then you tap into, meditation is really, in all faiths and all practices, it's really your way of communing with God or spirit, right? That's what meditation is.
That's it, and you shut off that voice that berates you, and then mm-hmm. you hear the voice with a capital V that is nothing but unconditional spiritual love.
So now the interesting thing is, tell everybody, because everyone has a different way of meditating, how do you teach people to meditate? What's your way?
Oh, truly, it's to find your own way. And most mm-hmm. people say, oh, I can't quiet my mind. And I think that everybody can learn to silence their mind. It's not a matter of silencing all thoughts for 20, 30 minutes at a time. It's just having the intention of sitting quietly and shutting out the outer world to connect with your inner world. So I always start with prayers. That shows me why I'm doing this. I'm connecting with that greater reality. And then I quiet my mind by having that desire. And every time I recognize a thought from the smaller voice, I just say the word thought. And I let it drift away instead of resisting mm-hmm. it. Many, many ways to do it.
I like that. I always like to visualize a thought as a balloon that you just let float on by.
Or a cloud.
A cloud, yeah.
It's
so wonderful. And when you tap in to this source of love by connecting with love, with spirit, with God, Yahweh, whatever you want to call it, now suddenly you feel like a well is overflowing into you as the love just pours into you. And the beautiful part that I find is now you're a well that's overflowing.
Oh,
you have so much, right?
I warned the female viewers to watch out if you put your mascara on before meditating, because occasionally you enter into this blissful state of love where the tears just flow, but they're tears of joy.
Really, totally right. And what I find also that comes out of this is, because I truly believe, and I think you probably do too, we're here to love others better. to perfect.
Oh, that's it.
Right? That's what we're here for, to overcome the blocks to loving not only ourselves, but others better. And it's one and the same. The more you love yourself, the more you love others better. And then what happens for you is you're not worried anymore about, gee, if I say this, will you like me? Will you reciprocate? Will I be rejected? You don't care. Right? You just
that's
love.
That's true. And then the more you have that attitude, the more loving you are. And then you just attract that kind of, those kinds of people to you.
Right. Right. Exactly. So during my quickie, Suzanne, I always give a few tweets that I wrote for the show to drive home the message. So may I lay a couple on you?
Please do.
All right. So when you're at the end of your rope, know that there is always reason for hope.
Oh, great.
And you can have less strife and more love in your life. And last but not least, loving yourself is the greatest form of wealth.
Excellent. So you have a little poet on the other side, too, whispering in your ear.
I do. I didn't even know I was a poet until, well, when Jean started to come to me, everything was coming in rhyme.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Realized he was doing that to make me pay attention and remember.
Exactly how my book, Messages of Hope, starts, because those on the other side knew that I wasn't going to believe I wasn't making up these messages I was hearing in meditation. So they came and gave me poetry.
And oh, isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful, yeah.
It's the same. Our experience is so similar. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yes.
Very remarkable in the way the messages come through. And the first night I got back from Italy, he died when we were together in Italy. And mind you, remember I was raised by the two devout Jewish atheists, never read the Bible, never went to church. And that first night, he was quoting passages to me. And when I went to his priest the next day to prepare the readings for his funeral, and I said to the priest, he said this, this, and this, the priest went white, crossed himself, and said, dear God, at first I didn't believe you, but I do now. You're quoting an obscure biblical passage. And I'm thinking, oh, like I would know.
That's evidence. That's it. And I've got those kind of Bible quotes myself from very high sources, and it changes your mind.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf and I'm talking with Suzanne Giesman, Messages of Hope. She's a former Navy commander, special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations, aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on 9/11, who became an evidential medium and spiritual teacher, and her website's loveatthecenter.com. So, Suzanne, let's talk a little bit about spiritual love.
Mm.
How do you define spiritual love?
That's the kind of love, Jamie, that never changes. It doesn't depend on what others think or say or do. It is all abiding, and it's at the source of everything that is, and it just comes accompanied with peace, and fear has nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. When you're in the presence of this divine spiritual love, there is no fear.
None. And
fear.
What a way to live your life without fear.
Yeah.
Just a knowing and a connection. That's what I hope to help other people find in themselves, because it doesn't come from somebody outside of yourself. You don't have to search and seek and hope and turn to addictions or anything when you find that kind of love, and it's right inside.
You know, it's interesting because last week I had a guest who was talking about the happiness lie, and she has clearly found the bliss and the connection with spirit. She doesn't know it. She doesn't call it spiritual love, but she just had obviously a great attunement, and she was weeping for joy, and she has lived in this blissful attuned state ever since, to such a point that she's almost like a monk on a mountaintop. She doesn't need relationships. She's not looking for a life partner. So how do you see, because I do think there's a way that you can combine this oneness and connection. How do you see that working?
Well, the relationships are our greatest gifts because they show us where we still have to perhaps perfect ourselves. They point out, they give us opportunities to practice unconditional spiritual love, because our loved ones, our partners are our greatest teachers. They know how to push our buttons, and when your buttons can be pushed and you react with love, then you're growing. And so,
absolutely,
bless our teachers.
Absolutely, because the relationship, your intimate relationship, is what exposes all your spiritual warts and flaws, right?
Yes, and Jamie, if I could just say the one thing that has come through so clearly now, and I've given 650 readings since I started and since I discovered this ability, the one thing that comes through over and over is this is the thing those on the other side most want to get through when they come through, and it's either to say I love you, or that I didn't say I love you often enough, or to apologize for things that they did wrong in their own eyes, for things that they hurt those who are still here, so that they can keep on growing, because perfecting our ability to be love is what life is all about, whether here or in the hereafter.
Absolutely right. I agree with you. And you know, I didn't know this until the first week after Jean left his body. I went to go to the car repair, and I didn't know the people over there because Jean did the car thing. So I walk in and I hear this guy coming through to me, and it's for the woman behind the counter. And I say, hi, I'm Jamie, and you know, Jean died. And she says, oh, well, I'm a widow too. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm hearing your husband, you know?
Oh.
So I said, he wants me to tell you that he messed up big time with your son, and
wow,
he doesn't want and he's saying, don't screw up the way I did, because you're being a control freak like I was, and it's only making our kid rebel more. Well,
oh,
this blew my mind, right?
Yeah,
because he now saw how he was screwing up. He's saying, I'm sorry. He's telling her as her spirit guide, will you please not make my mistake? Well, wow, was that an experience, you know?
And that's the point that if we can get that across to people, that what we do now is so important, because you may not have a chance to find a medium from the other side. Your loved one may not sit with a medium. So how are you going to let them know these things? Say it now.
Absolutely.
You know, see your behavior now from the perspective as if you're already on the other side. What would you change? How could you be more loving?
Absolutely. Live heaven now.
Yeah.
Live it now, right?
Yeah.
Clean up your act. Clean up your side of the fence. Love more now. Listen better now. Because like you said, that guy was beating down my door. Glad I came to repair my car that day, you know,
so
that he could get that message across to her. You know, and I'll never forget, it was Easter that same first year. I went to a bird lady. She breeds Gouldian finches. And I sensed that I was being sent to help one of her birds and to help her. So I walk in the door, and I hadn't seen her in years since I had to put my sweet little canary down. And I walk in, and she says, hi, Jamie, take a look at this little bird. This bird is going to be dead by the end of the day. She said, the bird has not eaten, and little Gouldian finches, they're so small, if they don't eat, they're dead in a day. And I look at the bird, and I could see the bird is very distressed. So I said, may I try to help the bird? And she says, yeah, if you want. So I go over to the bird, and I say, listen, my little friend, go down and eat right now. Well, as soon as I start talking to the bird, he gets all excited. He starts chirping, jumping around. He had looked like he was on death's door, the poor little thing. I was expecting him to keel over off the perch, you know. He runs down. He starts scarfing up seeds, starts to get energy. He's all normal. So now I realized that the bird was sensing the spirit presence of the bird owner's father, and that the bird was somehow upset by the presence. So now I say, you know, somebody is coming through, and he wants to tell you that he's very sorry. Mm. And she looks at me, and I see this ball on the ceiling. It's like a witching ball. And I think I might have given it to her because it looked familiar. And I said, did I give you this? She says, no, I bought it to protect myself. And I said, he's saying you don't need protection from him. He cannot hurt you anymore. And I said, and your mother is also saying I was such a schmuck. And then she says, I was a weakling. That's the word she used, a weakling. You know, weird word that we would never use, right?
Yes,
weakling.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I said, she keeps saying, I was such a weakling for not protecting you from Dad. And then she just starts bawling, right? And she says to me, well, she said, that's why I got the witching ball, because he sexually abused me and I don't feel safe. And he came through with the message, I need for you to face me and talk to me about what I did wrong to you so that my spiritual development can complete, right?
That's it. I had the same experience in a reading.
Yep.
Where a woman was sitting across from me, and this man stepped in, and I said, this is your ex-husband, and she stiffened, and I described things about him that showed, yes, that's who it was, and she said, I don't want to hear from him. And I said, well, he's here with something to say. And she said, make him go away. And I said to him, please go away. She doesn't want you here. And he wouldn't go away until he said his apology. And the second he said it, he went away.
Yep.
I don't think she was ready to forgive him, but he grew from that experience.
Exactly.
So again, you know, we shouldn't wait, because there is only now. There's only now.
Exactly. I mean, and it's not that, I mean, when these spirit presences come through, they're actually saying, yes, I want to guide you, but I also need your help to complete my spiritual development. I need to have your forgiveness. I need to grow. So it's like we're helping them.
Oh, definitely.
As much as they're helping.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I was trained, that I serve those in the spirit world first. So I tell my clients that when they sit with me, that people may come through who you don't want to hear from, but this is as much for those on the other side as it is for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you train yourself? Did you go to like Lilydale or
I first learned from my mentor, Janet Nohavik, in Lilydale. And then when I saw that this was an ability that I could definitely improve, I flew to England and studied with some of the best evidential mediums at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences. And after that, I've had a few more courses, but once you learn the basic methods and you learn how it feels to tune in, it's a matter of practice and then having your own guides teach you.
Mm-hmm. So I never went that route of the formal training, because it was sort of like my door was kind of like ripped wide open.
Yes, so. And you obviously have a calling in your work, but there's no doubt in my mind you are a medium.
Oh yeah, baby. I'm completely gone. I'm not even here most of the time. But I think also that, you know, I had that high fever. Throughout my childhood, I had 105 degree fevers. And when I was reading up on mediums, I read that a lot of psychic mediums discovered their ability, George Anderson, and I think another one, right after having one high fever.
Oh, but you know what else it is? That's true. And it's also people that have fallen on their heads. And when I read that, I really had to laugh, because at 7 weeks old, I showed my mother, boy, I was old enough to roll over, and I rolled right off a counter onto the floor and fractured my skull. So that was my head knocking.
Oh, that was your way of waking your brain up. So for me, it was these delirious fevers every month of my life. You got slapped upside the head.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that something? So did you know you had the ability from the time you were a kid?
Oh, no, I had no idea. No idea until 6 years ago. None.
And when it happened, isn't that interesting? It was when your stepdaughter left her body and came to you that's how it started.
Well, she came through another medium, and then I started writing about mediums and meditating in hopes that I could sense our Susan around me. Never to do it for other people. And so then when this woman whose book I was writing called me to the front of her class and said, you can do this too. Who do you sense? Who's here? And I did it. That was a complete surprise, a beautiful surprise, but stunning.
Do you believe, Suzanne, like a lot of people do, that we all have the ability, we just haven't tapped in?
Oh, absolutely, because we're all made of the same essence. We're all spirit beings. It's just a matter of learning how to fine-tune our antennas, because that's what we are, transceivers, transmitters and receivers of consciousness.
It's so neat, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Such a gift. It's such a gift. Now, a lot of people I know are very afraid of this because they're afraid. And I know that, you know, when Jean first left his body, his priest said to me, when he's in heaven, you won't hear from him anymore. Well, this freaked me out. You know, I thought I need to stay in connection with the man that I have loved my entire life. And he said, nope, when he's in heaven, you won't hear from him anymore. Well, that night, I came to run a group in my house, and I had a new group member, and she was alone with me, didn't know that Jean had died, had never met me before, and everyone else in the group was late. And the next thing we know, the group room is closed, and we hear my front door open, and the burglar alarm chime rings. Then I hear pounding footsteps, right? And I think, oh, somebody came and sat down in the waiting room, but didn't enter the group room. The person must have just, come at the wrong time. So I hear the footsteps leaving in the opposite direction, and I hear the door chime again as though the person is leaving. So I jump up, Suzanne, to run outside to say to the person, wait, I'm sorry, you're here at the wrong time. And I go outside and there's nobody there.
And the way
my house is set up, if there had been somebody, the person would have had to walk very far to get to where you park. There was nobody there. So I come back and I say, well, there was nobody. And the new patient says to me, it was a spirit. So that was my husband's answer to what the priest said about when he's in heaven, you won't hear from him anymore. So
But you see, people are trained to think that experience that you just described is scary. We think of movies like the Amityville Horror and that's frightening. Why is that frightening? That is a blessing to have a visit from somebody you couldn't wait to hear from.
Yeah, so I don't get that part about why it's scary, and people confuse it with, you know, some kind of demonic visitation or like an evil presence. And, you know, it's somebody said to me it was started in the Middle Ages, you know, where everybody was so afraid of demonic visits. And so they just simply cut it down and said, nope, you can't talk to spirit. Wait until you're in heaven. Then you can talk to your loved ones in heaven. But the thing is, in my experience, and you'll have to tell me if you've experienced this too, our loved ones in spirit form, they surround us in love. They protect us from any negative presences, if there are any.
That's true. And the negative presences are constructs of consciousness, of our own minds, and of the mass consciousness that believes in negative spirits. This is a universe that's based on love, love.
Yeah, so I don't even get it. I've never experienced anything of the kind but love. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I remember Jean didn't speak to me about devils and all the rest of it, but he was so abiding in love that I don't even think it existed for him.
That's where we all can go, to that place. And when we do, that will change those around us as well.
Isn't it so true? I love what you do. So your life consists of doing readings for people to share these messages of hope, and you also give public talks, right?
Yes, and I'm an author as well. In fact, I only can handle about one reading a day because it is quite draining. I focus so intensely to bring through the evidence that I'm not a full-time medium. I take the evidence with my client's permission, and I get that out to greater audiences so that more people can hear these messages. So for me, the writing and the speaking is the method that I get those messages to more people.
Oh, I love that. So you just take the one reading, and then that evidence then becomes evidence for the world.
It's not why I do the readings. This is what maintains the connection. This is my calling, to help people on a one-on-one basis to know that their loved ones are still with them. But it adds to the other aspect of my work. So it's a perfect way of balancing things out.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And then how did you start doing the readings and the public speaking? speaking? Did it just happen through word of mouth because people heard about what...
Well, I had already been a public speaker because my husband and I took off after I retired from the Navy, and we sailed across the ocean in our sailboat and around the Mediterranean. So I wrote a couple of boating books and became a big speaker in the boat show circuit. So I was very comfortable as a public speaker. But then when I discovered this ability and the love that came from that, I just felt a calling to share that with other people, and began giving readings after Arthur Findlay College to neighbors and friends, and then they told their friends and their neighbors, and before you knew it, I have this waiting list that's kind of overwhelming. But I transferred my enjoyment of public speaking to now speaking about mediumship and about love and about why we're here, and it's just become this perfect marriage of the mediumship with the teaching.
Oh, it's lovely. All right, I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm talking with Suzanne Giesman, retired U.S. Navy commander, and now evidential medium and the creator of loveatthecenter.com. So Suzanne, let's talk more, since my show is Ask Dr. Love. Let's talk about how to bring more love into our lives in addition to meditation. What do you suggest?
Oh, definitely start reading something uplifting every day. I would say spiritual literature, but just something that focuses on the goodness. And I've stopped watching the daily news. I get my headlines on the internet real quick, and then I get away from the negativity. And find a way to remind yourself to connect with a greater reality. I wear a little ring on my little finger that I switch from hand to hand, so I don't get used to it there, so it bothers me. So I notice it, and then I say, now what's that ring all about? That's right, to remind me of my connection with all that is. And by consciously remaining connected with the other side, you remember what's important. You remember that love is why we're here.
Yes, to dissolve the walls to loving ourselves and others fully. That's all we're here for, and nothing else matters, because when we're on our deathbeds, nobody's going to say, wow, that Suzanne or that Jamie, I never forgot how much money they made. It's just going to be the people we touched and how well we loved, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you speak with a group of spiritual teachers daily who call themselves Sanya.
Sanaya, S-A-N-A-Y-A.
Sanaya. And what advice or lessons do they share with you about relationships here on Earth? What else?
Oh, my goodness. Well, SanayaSays.com is where I post the messages I get every morning, and people write in and they say, they are speaking directly to me today because the messages are universal. We all grieve the same, love the same at the spiritual level, and the messages are all about love and our oneness, our interconnectedness, and about loving ourselves. People really relate to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Jean saying to me, one of the first things he said was, we're all one family, we're all one religion, that religion is love.
Perfect.
I love when he said that. And, you know, he also said, this blew my mind, he said, what makes you think the realm where you are isn't the illusion, and the realm where I am isn't the reality.
I think there are multiple realities.
Yeah.
We just place our focus so strongly here in this one that so many people tend to think that it's all there is.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely right. Now, what do you think about the soulmate concept?
I think that there are definitely people that we agreed to come into this life and be with and learn from, and we mm-hmm. feel that connection, but it's not necessarily your lover. It could be a friend of the same sex. It could be just somebody that comes into your life briefly, but the connection is so strong, you can't deny it, you never forget them, and you're changed by it.
Mm-hmm. That they are somehow brought into our lives to help us on our path to greater soul development.
Yes, and you can have more than one soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, it's funny because Jean used to give me cards that would show us as lovers in other eras, and he did not believe in reincarnation. I don't know if it was because he was a Catholic, and Catholics believe that you are you begin your life in spirit form. You have one short ride in a body, and then you return to spirit form again. Maybe he didn't believe in reincarnation because he knew he was finished and he was going to live now forever in spirit form and not reincarnate. I don't know. There are lots of things we don't know, and I guess we won't know till we leave our bodies.
That's
but,
true.
You know, but one of the things that became clear to me was that I was always with him, that mm-hmm. That we had always been together and somehow always would be together. It's hard to explain, you know, such mystical spiritual things, you know, in our limited language, you know.
But there's a knowingness. I remember when I first typed that in a Word document, it came up with a little red line under it because it wasn't a real word, a knowingness.
but
you know what I mean. There's nothing anybody can say that can dissuade you from knowing that this is so. And,
yes,
and it's that love connection that you have with him, present tense, that you've always been together and always will.
And you know what's really wild, Suzanne? I have quite a few patients who never knew Jean, never saw him. They came to me after he left his body, never saw a picture of him. And they have come in and said to me, you know, a man came to me last night, woke me out of a sound sleep, was sitting in a chair next to my bed, and he smiled at me and sent me the message telepathically, everything was going to be fine with my divorce. So I would run and get my photo album and say, do you recognize the man? And they would pick him out.
Oh, so you have a partner in your work there, huh?
No, there it is, because he said to me right after he left his body, you can't die. We have too much work left to do in our ministry. I thought, ministry? What are you talking about? Well, I get it now. You know?
Oh, yes.
Because he said, all the millions of people you love and touch, I love and touch them through you. So he's working
Perfect.
With my patients. And sometimes he'll come to them and he'll speak to them about something that they're working on. This year, on the anniversary of his death, that's September 17th, I had a patient that came in who also didn't know Jean, and I said, you know, he always brings me coins, pennies from heaven, quarters, you know, and always with the date, you know, a special date, our anniversary or the year we moved in together. And she blinks and she says, you know, it's really weird. She says, but I was standing in my apartment last week and my riding boots were in the middle and I saw a quarter fall from the sky and land in my boot. She said it came out of nowhere and something told me it was for you. This is what she says. And she says, and I forgot about it. She says, but I didn't take it out. She says, so let me go get my boot and take it out now. And I hear Jean saying to me at this moment, it was minted 1988, the year we got married. I swear to God. So she takes the boot, she turns it upside down. I look at the quarter, 1988.
That's great.
You know but it's good.
We
it's
call
good.
Those miracles. We call them miracles.
Miracles.
But the definition of a miracle is an effect at this level, the physical level, from a cause at a level that we can't perceive, and that would be the spirit world. So that was simply Jean was giving that message from the other side, and that just appeared out of nowhere, and we call that a miracle. But that's just the interaction of the two worlds.
Isn't that the neatest thing, though? And it is. It's not just a gift for me. It's a gift for you. It's a gift for everybody who hears about it. And, you know, one of the biggest gifts you've given me today in coming on the show is I have never revealed my abilities publicly before talking with you.
Oh, my gosh. You are out now.
I'm out, baby. I'm out. It was my coming out party. And it was, you know, just having you on and just the connection that I feel with you, I just let it out. And so you brought me an incredible gift in coming and being my guest today.
Well, your book, which you allowed me to read an advanced copy of, I so appreciate that, Love Never Dies, is going to help so many people because it's bringing that credible background, again, that lets people believe what their soul is already telling them, that we're all connected, that we are spirit beings here and now, and everybody in their heart wants to know that, wants to believe that, but we all are raised with different belief systems that tell us it's wrong or it's evil or it's impossible, and do you see how that holds people back? So thank you for coming out and for helping me to share the message as well, because it's nothing but a message of love.
Absolutely. And so we had my coming out party today, and you were so gracious to help me come out on my own show. So tell me how I can support you, the books you would like everyone to know about, your website. Lay it on us.
Oh, well, Messages of Hope is my story of how I made this transition from Navy Commander to Evidential Medium. And the beautiful part is all the evidence that's in it. People, they buy it for themselves, and then they buy it for somebody who's grieving because it does speak to them. So Messages of Hope. And then the daily messages that I get from Spirit are on my Facebook page. Just look up my name, Suzanne Giesman, or you can find them through my website. We have several books of those messages. The latest one is called In the Silence. And then I'm just now getting to use Twitter. So if people follow me on Twitter, I put just the little one-liners that I get from Spirit. At first I thought, now how am I going to come up with something interesting and worthwhile to say every day? I don't think I can do that. And all of a sudden, here comes my group, Sanaya, and they popped like three of them in a row in my head, and I thought, how could I forget rule number one? We don't do anything by ourselves. It comes
yes.
from our helpers. And so it's a constant journey. But the website, as you said, is loveatthecenter.com.
You are love. You live love. You are such a beautiful woman. And I want to make sure people know how to spell your name. It's Giesemann.
Thank you.
Right? And yes. Will you come back and visit me again?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
I really have enjoyed you so much. And I just, I loved you from before I even met you.
Because I just knew. That was one of those preordained soul contract things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's my own literary agent who told me about you, and it was just there before we even met. So I will just say not goodbye, but so long. And I want all of you to just open your hearts to that well of love that awaits you in Spirit, and then bring it to the people who are in your life. See you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.